What is up, everybody, and welcome to the Tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are recording on December 22nd. It's a Monday. We're recording around 2 o'clock, so that's just kind of a timestamp so you know where everything's at. We're pre-Christmas, ready to get our holiday Christmas on here in a few days. And it's a good time to be a Red Raider, as the Red Raiders are set to face the Oregon Ducks in the Orange Bowl in the quarterfinals of the college football playoff. Texas Tech basketball knocks off undefeated number 3 ranked Duke. The Lady Raiders are in the top 25 for the first time since 2012. So everything coming up Texas Tech right now. So fun episode for you guys. So with all of that said, let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
Well, we want to wish a Merry Christmas to all you Red Raiders out there. We've been getting a lot of good things this year. So we have, been good because Santa is dealing out a lot of good presents for Red Raider Nation, and that includes the number 4 ranked Texas Tech football team, who is now set to face off with the number 5 Oregon Ducks in the Orange Bowl after Oregon knocked off James Madison in the first college football playoff round. It was a pretty dominant win for Oregon, but they did give up over 500 yards and 35 points to James Madison, so that's something to take note of there, although their offense was humming throughout the game. But now the match is finalized. We kind of knew and expected the Red Raiders to be facing off with the Oregon Ducks, but now that it's official, how are you feeling?
I feel great about this, man. It's kind of what we expected. Yeah. James Madison, they tried to fight, but eventually, you know, Oregon's just too much coming out of the gate. So, but
they showed more fights than some other teams
did. Yeah. at least they scored 34 points and not just 3.
Outscored A&M, Miami, Tulane.
Yeah.
Combined.
But nothing about Oregon in that game, like, really scared me or that we can't handle, you know? Yeah, their offense is good, but we have one of the best defenses in the country. So that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah, to me, just watching the James Madison defense try to compete with Oregon was kind of the telling thing. It was like they had some guys that just didn't look like they deserved to be on the same field. And that's not going to be the case when the Red Raiders are on the other side of the ball there. The best defensive line in the country, the best linebacker in the country, one of the best secondaries in the country. Just this is a defense that's built, I think, to stop this Oregon offense specifically. And the one time Oregon played a really good defense in Indiana, they really struggled with that. And that was a home game. So I think you're bringing a better defense than Indiana to the table. I think this is a really good matchup. And if I'm Mack Leftwich and Baron Morton, after watching James Madison put up 35 points on Oregon, I'm feeling pretty good about what we can bring offensively to this game. And I think that was one of the things that I was a little nervous about, is our offense going against some of these teams. But seeing what James Madison did makes me feel like our offense is going to be able to put up some yards against this Oregon defense. And it's really hard to stop us when you got the running game going and the passing game going. So I think for me, that's probably the enlightening thing here, is I think offensively we've got to go out and we got an opportunity to put a lot of points on the board.
Yeah, we do. And that's what I was looking at. Like, they gave up 186 rushing yards to James Madison. So I think our O-line and Cam Dickey and Jacoby can easily do that and then let Baron and the guys get downfield.
Yeah, agreed. Like, if I'm Cam Dickey and Jacoby Williams, I'm licking my chops. I feel like they're going to be a great asset to us in this game. But Texas Tech versus Oregon. We'll dive more into this matchup before the game. Just kind of wanted to talk about it now that we've got our sights set on the Ducks. I wanted to get your thoughts on the first round of the CFP. I know a lot of people got a lot of opinions out there. The two power conference games were decent. You had Alabama come back against Oklahoma and win on the road. You had Miami shut down the A&M offense and win 10-3 in what was a very boring game. And then you had two blowouts against G5 teams. And so that's a lot of the conversation, I guess, right now is, should G5 teams be allowed into this tournament when you feel like you probably have better matchups with some of the teams that got left out? But your thoughts on the first round of the CFP?
I think Tulane is the G5 that should get criticized here. I don't think James Madison should. I mean, 51-34 against Oregon's pretty solid showing, even if you backdoor kind of put up points there. But 34 points and 500 yards is still
respectable.
Pretty good showing and respectable, yeah. It's like Tulane's the one that never showed up for their game and just got overpowered all game. And then, that Alabama-Oklahoma game was awesome. I don't know how Oklahoma fumbles away a 17-point lead at home like that and just doesn't score again.
That crowd and that energy.
Doesn't make sense to me. And then a certain player that was talking about us didn't even play in the game.
Yeah.
And recorded zero tackles, so that's also funny.
And then hit the transfer portal.
And then hit the portal. That's been a big thing today. My whole feed is filled with portal entries. What was our other game? Oh, yeah. A&M just flat out didn't show up at home. That whole game stunk. I mean, Miami went down and scored in the last couple minutes, and that was it. But everything in the middle of that game was terrible both ways, both sides of the ball for both teams.
I took a long nap in that game.
And you didn't miss
it. Not on purpose either. I just kind of like fell asleep because it was so boring, and I woke up and it was still like, I think when I woke up, it was 3-3, and I was like, all right, cool. I didn't miss much.
But now it's like good for Miami to like show like, hey, we won the game. So it wasn't wrong to put us in. Even though the game
same with Bama
sucked, but whatever. The first two home playoff losses in CFP history from last year and this year. So that was kind of fun to see that that's not everything, but
the Alabama and Oklahoma game was definitely the best game of the first round, which you kind of expected it to be. Two pretty evenly matched teams, and both of their game they played earlier this year was a close one. Kind of I figured this would be the same. Miami and A&M, I expected to be more fireworks in that one. I expected a lot more scoring, but 3-3, just really fun to watch Miami go into A&M and win that game the way that they did and have Marcel Reed set up at the end to potentially tie the game. And then he makes a terrible pass, just floats one in there, gets picked off in the end zone. So all the hope that A&M fans had just taken away, right? Like that was fun to watch. The G5 schools, like you said, I think James Madison put up more of a fight, so I'm not really ridiculing them. There was some blowouts last year from I think Tennessee and SMU, so some actual power schools haven't performed very well either in the first round, so I don't think it's anything to that's super alarming. But the Tulane side of things is kind of two G5 teams making it is a little bit of a joke. I still think one of the teams should get a shot. I think especially when it's like a special kind of team and a special season, they should be rewarded for that. But two teams in is a little bit much.
Yeah.
And I kind of agree that, a Texas or a Notre Dame would have been way more fun to watch them play Ole Miss than it would have been to watch Ole Miss and Tulane, which we already saw earlier this season, and that didn't go well at all. So, it would have been more fun to watch a better team go up against Oregon and make that game a little bit closer.
Sure.
But it's only year two of this. They're probably going to expand it at some point, I would imagine. And they're going to probably tweak some things again this next year to better align to certain teams. So, we'll already see, Notre Dame's guaranteed a spot now in the future if they end up in the top 12, which is stupid. I do like the reporting that teams are like trying to freeze them out.
I'm like, should
you should. It's a stupid thing to have put out there, because now all the teams are going to be like, yeah, we're not going to try to help you get into the top 12 when you're guaranteed a spot. So interesting first round, definitely sets up a great second round of games with us in Oregon, Indiana, Alabama, Ohio State, Miami, and Georgia and Ole Miss. So it's going to be a fun second round of games, and the Red Raiders getting to play in that, kicking off New Year's Day at 11 a.m. is going to be a fun one. Any other CFP thoughts you had?
No.
All right. Well, that once again, it is set. Texas Tech and Oregon, number 4 versus number 5 in the Orange Bowl on New Year's Day, 11 a.m. kickoff. So excited for that one. Red Raider Nation, I know we'll be up late celebrating the new year. So make sure, you know, you get some rest, get a little bit of sleep, or just keep it going. Just keep it going. We'll transition next into Texas Tech basketball, where we haven't had a whole lot to talk about Texas Tech basketball wise this season. It's been a little bit more on the disappointing side than I think we expected heading into the season. You lost to Arkansas in a close game. Came back, barely beat Northern Colorado. You've had a lot of injuries. Luke Bamboye has barely been able to play for you. He's out again. You have none of your big guys. Marion Tucock is hurt. Josiah Mosley's still hurt. You really have JT Toppin, and you go up against the number 3 ranked undefeated Duke Blue Devils, Cam Boozer and them boys. And you pull off one of the biggest upsets of the season. One of the best wins in the McCaslin era, and there's a lot of those wins are already stacking up, and put this one up there, an 82-81 victory over the Duke Blue Devils at Madison Square Garden, erasing a 17-point deficit in the second half. Christian Anderson going off in the second half to bring the Red Raiders back and get the win. What were your thoughts on an exciting, crazy, chaotic, unbelievable win for the Red Raiders?
Yeah, huge game, huge comeback. It really, like you said, the team's been struggling a little bit to find their footing, their identity, and whatnot, especially defensively.
Yeah.
We know we can score, but just the fact that you were down some guys, Lawan and Horner foul out with like 12 or 11 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
So your rotation's like nothing at that point.
And Lawan had been your best player in the game so far.
Right. And Lohan, yeah, still had 20 points without playing the last 10-plus minutes. And, yeah, you put Nolan Groves in at center to guard Cam Boozer. And he actually did a great job for you. Helped start and lead that comeback. And so Christian Anderson took the ball in his hands and made a lot of big shots and great decisions. That pick and roll with Toppin was working so well. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think for Grant McCaslin and this team specifically, it really shows we are good. We can be good, but this is how you got to do it. Like, Tyree Bryant didn't hardly play in this game. I think this is a great example for him. This is how you have to play to get minutes and help us be better and you be better. And it kind of just shows everybody that we have to work really hard. We have to work really hard to get rebounds because we're undersized and undermanned. But you gave yourself the blueprint of how you got to do this. And so I think that's a very good confidence builder to put in that locker room for all these guys in this team.
Yeah, this is a potential season-changing win for you. You know, you scheduled a really tough non-con. You hadn't gotten a win over any of the teams that you kind of needed to. You know, you've been close. You were close at Illinois. You were close against Arkansas, but just didn't have enough to do it. And this one, you were able to figure it out. And yeah, it's one of those, the blueprint, like you said, you can show that, hey, you want to get on the court, look at what Nolan Groves did in this game. Coming in, hadn't played, comes in, defends the best player in the country, maybe the number one draft pick in the NBA next year, and pretty much shut him down. Yeah, I know he got a couple free throws off of him, but he was killing you prior to that, and once Nolan Groves came in, you know, that really sparked the defensive run that you needed. Just guys who go in, compete. Leon Horner, I know he fouled a lot, but dude was competing.
Yep.
And that's what it's going to take to get on the court. You got to go out. You got to compete. It can't just be offense only. You got to get out there, compete defensively. And I really thought Nolan Groves, Leon Horner did a great job of doing that, taking advantage of that opportunity. Christian Anderson was dominant in that second half. And that's what you need from him to step up and shoulder the load offensively and be in attack mode. JT did his same thing that he was normally doing, even though he was in foul trouble for the majority of the game. The officials were terrible. They were one-sided. So it was just everything was pointing to a Duke blowout in this one, and you somehow fought your way back in this one and end up getting the victory. 27 points for Christian Anderson led the way. Like you said, 20 points for Lawan Watts in just 27 minutes of play. Nice. JT had 19 and 10, a double-double for him. He was really good. And those are your three guys who are going to lead the way for this team. And like you said, Tyree Bryan kind of falling out of the rotation, becoming unplayable. And I expect to see more things from Leon Horner, Nolan Groves. Of course, Jalen Petty gets a pretty good run as your sixth man. But exciting win, man. Definitely jealous that I wasn't at the Garden. Wasn't super jealous at the start, but after seeing that game, that win, definitely a little FOMO missing that one. Any other thoughts you have on the basketball program right now?
No, I don't think so.
Conference play is almost over, or non-con play is almost over. Big 12 conference play is right around the corner. So our marquee win on the season for Grant McCaslin and these guys, that will go a long way in seeding NCAA tournament possibilities. Good to have that one under your belt. And so, yeah, not a whole lot to talk about this week. Wanted to hop on the mics, kind of talk about that win over Duke, the matchup with Texas Tech and Oregon. And so that's just about everything we got for you guys. Before our final shots, Dustin, you got a final shot for us this weekend before we head off for the Christmas break.
I was going to go with what you had, so I'll let you start and piggyback.
Yeah, we mentioned it at the top. The Lady Raiders got a huge win over number 15th ranked Baylor yesterday to kick off conference season. They're undefeated. And for the first time since 2012, they are now ranked. They came out ranked number 21 in the polls today. So shout out to the Lady Raiders. It's something that the program's been struggling. They've had a couple moments of getting close, but maybe it seems like we finally got the roster that maybe can do some things in the Big 12 conference and maybe make the NCAA tournament. So what are any thoughts on the Lady Raiders and getting a huge win on the road to start conference play?
I didn't realize they haven't been ranked in that long. So that's pretty incredible to see. But yeah, undefeated, starting conference play with a huge win over Baylor that you've had like a 34 game losing streak.
Yeah, it's a team you never beat.
Against, like, pretty incredible to go there and beat them like that. 8-0 at home, 14-0 overall. Pretty incredible what this team has done to start this year. So yeah, great job, Lady Raiders.
Yeah, injecting some life into that team. It's good to see. And hopefully their continued success where both the men's and women's basketball teams will happen, and we'll have two teams playing for in the NCAA tournament at the end of the year. We'd definitely love to see that. And it's good to see all the Texas Tech sports just kind of coming together and putting up lots of wins. It's been a fun year, and hopefully as 2025 comes to a close, 2026 kicks off with a bang with the Red Raiders taking on the Oregon Ducks. So that's everything we got for you guys this week. Wanted to hop in, discuss state of the Red Raiders right now before we celebrate the holidays. We'll try to get back on the mics before Texas Tech and Oregon face off in the quarterfinals. So we'll be back to talk about that. But other than that, we hope you guys enjoy your holidays, enjoy your Christmas, enjoy your New Year's, have fun and safe tailgates. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate. Peace.